Okay, this is board time Wednesday, the 6th of August at 3:04.
Okay, commissioners, we got a kind of a small official agenda here. Chris is here because apparently we have a deadline to appoint pro and con committees.
Yes.
And so this relates to the charter?
Yes.
Oh, no, East County Bridge. Sorry.
Yeah. So how do we get the word out?
Well, we need a list. We can notify them, but we need you as the board to pick the committee for who will write the pro and con statements for the ballot measure. Mm-hmm.
So, in order for us to be able to, the appointing process would be happen after we get the word out to the possible people who may want to participate,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, I just thought maybe you might already have an idea, because our timeline is pretty short, I think.
It's the 14th, it's due? Is that right?
I can't remember, but that sounds right. I think
yeah,
it is the 14th.
To submit it?
Yeah. Yeah, so the question is for us to be able to get the word out for those that want to participate.
I can send out a letter. If you have a list of some number, I could send a letter to them with a request for contact, and then we could work with you in terms of how that goes forward. But we need to have a fairly clear path so we can keep marching to get it going. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it has to be done by tomorrow. Really,
really?
August 7th.
So, how many words?
250.
250 for the pro and con statements.
And then 100 for Zimbabwe.
75 for the explanatory statement that's made by our office.
I think it's not too complicated. I think that you were the promoter of the East County, and that you probably have a couple of people that would write a pro statement.
Yes, and I'd like to be one of those people.
And there's no
like
problem.
Like I did last time.
And then I actually suggested that Ed was a con person on the East Bridge. He should contact some people who objected to the bridge, and he could do the same writing.
And what forum do they have to be selected and appointed?
Well, the statute doesn't say. It just says
hey, you.
The legislative body shall appoint the committee. So, okay. Presumably, I'm sorry?
In an open public meeting or what?
Again, it's not discussed in the statute. Usually, it's something that, like I said, in some respects, they're done in an open setting, but they're done right out of the gate. So you just have somebody in mind of who it would be. In this case, if you want to get letters or get some kind of statements from people, who would be interested?
I know where to look. When we put the advisory vote on, there's some con statements
from last time. You mean?
Yeah.
Well, who were on those committees the last time?
Well, I'm saying it's in the voters' pamphlet from last time.
Yeah.
Of who was pro and con on the advisory vote for that?
Well, I have already several people I think would be very interested. So if it's okay with you, I'll contact them.
Oh, absolutely.
And, for the pro, I don't have I. I'm open for recommendations. I want to make sure that the con really has the ability for them to have the freedom to pick whoever they want to for that. So how do we ensure that those that want to write the con statement?
A lot of times the burden is upon them, and it's quite often it's not uncommon at all to not have a pro or not have a con.
Well, I'm sure there will be plenty of interest on both sides
of
this one.
Just drops the ball.
Yeah, but you want to make sure you give a fair opportunity.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll look like you're swaying the outcome.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. We want to make sure it's fair.
I won't bite on that.
I'm not asking you to. I absolutely am not.
So why don't you guys just decide to let Commissioner Medora lead the pro, and then I guess you could communicate with Commissioner Barnes, and they just have to be done by the 14th.
Why don't we?
Is Commissioner Barnes coming back tomorrow?
He's in Wenatchee, right? Thank you.
Staff would know.
Something.
That's some trade labor
conference. What we could do is we could let our auditor, Greg Kimsey, just simply pick the con and head that up. I mean, to choose the, because it falls to him anyway, if it's not done on time.
That's correct.
So why don't we just leave the selection of the con committee to our auditor?
Okay.
Well, here are the three that wrote it, the against statement for the original advisory vote: Mike Briggs, Rory Bowman, and Dave Howard. Right there.
Mm-hmm. Don't know.
Yeah. So I expect that we will make sure we get the word out any way we can for the con statement committee, and we'd certainly identify those individuals.
Okay.
Yeah, but that, in other words, because I'm obviously biased toward it, so I should not be involved in choosing the con people. I don't want to persuade and let that run the way it's supposed to run.
Notify Greg Kimsey today. I'll do it as soon as I leave.
You can work with him to make sure a valid process is followed to have a selection.
Drop him an email.
And I will make sure that three names get submitted by 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Sorry to hog so much of your time today.
Oh.
You're good.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just thinking that. Just like hanging out with us.
So next item is commissioner salaries. Commissioner Murphy, you've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now.
This is an old draft. You asked me to work with Tina. We dug up the last thing that had been done by Bill. I think Bill meant to get this done before he left. He had been working on it. You can see the names on the resolution would have to be changed. It still has Commissioner Stewart and Bolt on here, so they were using an old document, probably the last time your two positions' salaries were changed. Yeah. But the bottom line is he did take a shot, it looks like, at filling in the box for 2015 through 18 on the second page. That is just probably what Bill came up with and probably never got a chance to propose. And then there's also a secondary resolution that's associated with the reimbursement for things to...
Okay.
County elected to be allowance.
So we're really focused on the 2015 and beyond, right?
Because what will happen here is Commissioner Barnes' position, obviously there's two people running for that, but if the charter passes, then the salaries for all three positions are defined. If the charter fails, and I haven't figured this out yet, but there will be no salary scheduled for position three. And I'm not sure when we have to get that done by, but I assume this year, either by election day, election certification, or January 1,
it
because...
It has to be before the elections.
Before the term starts, right?
Before the term, yes.
Yeah, so I assume we do need to get something on the books here pretty soon.
And the intent is that the struggle is because we have a difference in timing, that we try to match them up as quick and as easy as possible.
So,
is this already adopted?
No, this is a draft.
I know this is a draft, but I mean to say, what is adopted?
I believe it is.
A version of this.
Because
is adopted.
I thought that the salaries were flat and fixed. This shows the salaries increasing every year.
Yes.
Is that automatically happening now?
Yes.
Well, not every year.
Well, look at here.
You go 3 years at the same rate, and then it increases, and then it increases again.
But it gets confusing. I froze mine.
Yeah, now here it does. It increases. Yep, right there. That's what you're talking about, I believe.
And it's always confusing because the salary can be one thing, but then an individual commissioner, I would assume, can choose to do another, and you can donate or you can do.
Well, it was interesting. You know, I had no difficulty. Giving mine back than you seem to have, because what they did when I gave mine back, they gave it to me in theory and then took it back. So as I received it, I paid income tax on it.
Yeah.
And then I gave it back. So,
they found a way when I first came on board to voluntarily reduce your salary in one step so you don't have to go through that thing. So mm-hmm. Now that we know we can do that, we can just if you want to be able to reduce it beyond what the normal is, then you have a means. We already know we have a means to do so.
What you have in this, it's a state contract.
So it is actual. Mm-hmm.
This is the contract.
I think that's what they're at now. Yeah.
So just to look at your figure one here on page two, the salaries for position one and position two have been frozen and fixed for 2012, 13, and 14. Mm-hmm. That's good. And I would assume that they would continue to stay fixed moving forward unless you take action to change them.
No.
Is this adopted?
After 2016, that's the end of my contract.
Yep. We'll have to reset your two positions for 17 here at some point as well.
Yeah, these are locked.
They're locked to 16.
And then sometime in 16, just like we're doing now, we'll repeat this process.
So actually, the only one we have to address right now is position
three.
Number
yeah,
three.
It's yeah. the only one you Which, legally can.
Good. Okay.
That's right.
So you're leading on this.
So the question is, does he start at 102.224 or 104.224?
Well, just to understand the starting point here, if the charter passed, then the charter defines the salary. So this only applies if the charter does not pass.
Correct.
So this is a full-time position.
That's correct. And I believe the charter, if it goes through, because there'll be 2 years of full-time salary, would start position three at the 102.224 number, I believe.
And that would make it par with the same as S2. Minus what I've
Although you guys are scheduled to go to 104.224 and 15, so next year.
And we can't change those.
No.
My intent was to lower our salaries. And yet we can't lower position one and two. So the only way to do that would be to go back and start with position number three and make it the same as the other two positions, which is 102.
Well, this person starts at the end.
I mean 104.
Yeah.
With the wrong call.
Yeah, there you go.
So
So you want us to amend this to be 104.224 and 15?
Even though I...
Well, whatever it is, it would be unfair to have one... We're all peers. We're all equal in how we work. It would be unfair to have, unless we're going to develop some kind of a trend or unless we're going to match it by reducing our own salary in comparison.
Well, the freeholders thought the chairman should get more. And I'm in favor of the freeholders.
He can't just pass that little piece there.
So I would think there's two possible choices in front of us. One is you just make them the same as the other two. And two is that if we reduce it less than that we would match that as well, voluntarily. You and I both have the freedom to reduce our salaries below what this is.
Well, I've already done that, and you already have too. I've committed $4,000 a year to local 501c3s, and you draw 80% of your payroll. So we've done that voluntarily. We don't. What is shown here is not what we take.
Okay.
So
it looks to me, if we just change 2015, the first year of that term, to 104.224, then it would fall in line with the other 2 year schedule for the rest of your terms, and then carry out to 18 with a $2,000 increase each year, which seemingly is the way the trend has gone. Whether you're comfortable with that,
I'm not comfortable with that at all.
Well, it was static for a good period. 102 for 2012, 2013, 2014.
There are still a lot of people in our community that aren't getting regular raises, and we need to lead by example.
The bad thing is that if I want to change the year 2016 to what I actually take, so like right now, I give $4,000 a year to local 501c3s. I'm not bound by contract. So therefore, it's like me just giving my word that I've done that, and there's nothing to hold me to it.
Well, we assume
so it'd be hard to change that.
Well, we assume your word is good. We have the voluntary freedom to set any salary lower than what we have in two steps. One is that whatever this says, we can make the decision, make the commitment to take a percentage less or a dollar amount less than what's already there for us to. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, we have the freedom to be able to set the other salary of the third person to so that we'd all end up being, or so that that person would not be unfairly treated one way or the other. So if you want to, so here's what I'm looking at. I'm thinking that that these are high, and that they should be lower, and that if we wouldn't expect the third commissioner to make less if we haven't also reduced ours voluntarily. So I would suggest that we since you're the higher paid commissioner here, to say what are you willing to set your salary at and make a commitment to say, well, this is how much you're the net of what you're going to end up with. Mm-hmm. And that would be the number that the third commissioner would make, because I'm already less than that.
I know.
I thought what was in this table is what drove the salaries of elected officials outside the commission.
That's another thing to consider.
So the fact that you voluntarily give back some of your salary
does not affect that.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect that. But if you reduce the amount you put in this table, it will.
The table does drive the other elected
salaries.
We
only can fill in one blank right now, and that's position three.
Yeah, and what one thing I have not checked that I need to check for you is which position's salary drives the other elected official's salary.
The highest paid commissioner.
I would assume that too, but I have not confirmed that. So
right.
And when you change this, just know that you will be changing those other salaries.
And it's not based on what your net compensation is because of your voluntary give back. It's what's in this official table.
I don't think I want to lower it to as far as I give away $4,000. That would make the base at 100,000, because mine is only a commitment. It's my personal commitment, and so it's up to me to be responsible for my commitment, and it's not engraved in stone. So that's not really right or not fair. I mean, I could be saying I'm giving away 4,000, I'm not, other than bringing my income tax reports down. Suggestions?
Well, when I started, I wrote out a statement and signed it and said that's what I'm setting mine at, which is 20% less than this. So, if there's a way, and as you make an agreement, you sign it.
So I can make an agreement to commit to local 501c3s.
However, you can do it two ways. One, you can use the same method as what they found worked for me, and that is just simply reduce the amount the gross that gets paid to you off the top.
Well, if you do that, there's a bunch of charities going to go without. Follow what I'm saying?
So
I'm not going to reduce my salary and then turn around and give away $4,000.
In other words, the paycheck that you're receiving now is that full amount?
I received the full amount, yes.
Okay.
It sure seems like a lot smaller than that, but I do receive the full amount.
So this is your lead.
Why?
Why? Well, because if it was up to me, I would make it less.
to standardize, I'm looking at 2015. And that we would all be at 104.
Well, actually, you know what? This is a decision that I think that our third commissioner ought to participate in. Why don't we hold this off until Ed Barnes gets back, and between now and then we can do a little bit of research and cover it next
week.
That's
true. It could affect him or his friend.
Well, it won't affect him, but it'll affect whoever comes in after him.
Bring back next week?
Sure.
Is he going to be here next week?
We're not having a board time next week because of the stand-down event.
Oh, that's next week already.
Oh, is that right?
I feel better if Ed was here.
Yeah.
He'll bring it back in 2 weeks?
Yep, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Probably won't agree, but I don't know.
Well, I haven't really, this is the first time I've seen it, so I wasn't prepared to actually look at numbers. The 2 weeks, between now and 2 weeks, I will have time to be able to actually.
Can we keep these?
Think about
absolutely. And I didn't mean to push for a decision. I just wanted to show you we got the paperwork.
I appreciate that.
And I can get answers to those other two questions, like, you know, when do we have to have it done? Is it actually by the election? And also, what is the other elected's salary tied to? Probably the highest.
The sheriff, I know, is 100%.
Yeah.
And then the treasurer and auditor. I don't know who else. Oh, here it is. There's another piece of paper. Oh, no, that one just says.
Chris,
okay. That's just an old piece of paper. Okay.
All right, Commissioner reports.
My turn?
Your turn.
Okay. Yesterday we had our RTC meeting, and Tom and I both signed a letter and submitted it that basically asked the RTC to consider the 12 reasons, the 12 points here that have been listed out that would call for the bus rapid transit project not to be funded, to put on halt until we can get a vote of the people and fix some of these things.
And to answer questions.
What's that?
To answer the questions.
There were actually two letters. One letter came from a representative, a Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler, who asked some questions to be answered before they move forward. So there was actually two letters that came that expressed reservations for moving forward. I added a slight modification to the letter and basically added. Made sure that we highlighted the zero capital cost, the lower operation cost that actually works better for the citizens, and to encourage that to happen. Because I do believe in public transit. I hate to see us keep making the system cost more and more and keep raising fares every time, and we're moving less people now than we were in 15 years ago because of those kinds of decisions. So anyway, the bottom line is here. I would like people to, at this point, because the RTC did put it, they did adopt it anyway, and said, let's fund this, even though the people voted no, essentially four times on this. The letter needs to be addressed to the FTA. So what I'd like people to do is to have, I'll work with our staff here to put this, send this letter to the FTA. Have Tom and I and Commissioner Barnes already expressed he doesn't want to sign it. Put it on the grid, and there's a number of references here. And have them work with our staff here to make sure that all those references come up with it, the web version of it.
Yeah.
So are you good with that?
I'm good.
Great. Okay. Terrific. And that's all I have.
And you have four Representative Herrera's with that.
Actually, yes, that's a really good point. And as soon as that gets ready, we'll sign it. Now, I want to include all the references as well, and we send the document to the
hard copy.
Hard copy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I am done.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time is mine?
Yep.
All right. I received a phone call from a gentleman by the name of Graber. He was a gentleman that came in and testified one time about a year so ago about the panhandlers, and it was his niece that was raped and killed in California by a panhandler, and he had been doing some community action up around there on 13th Street, and what was it? There was a camp up there, and I didn't know about it, but apparently there was a huge camp that they brought in dumpsters, loaded two large dumpsters with the debris and junk that was there, and they pretty much moved them on. And he wanted to remind me that he wanted to be involved with this. I kind of brought him up to date, telling and sharing with him that we had some ACLU issues and we were trying to address them, that we were still trying to stay focused on what had gone on in Pierce County, and we were waiting to see how that challenge came out. And he accepted that. But at first he was really angry when he called. So I wanted to bring you up to date on that Panhandlers thing. The other thing that in our meetings today, they kind of hit just the tops of what we were looking for in the excess lands. Somewhere along the way, we had staff members saying something about we were giving up 23 parks, and I got wind of that by someone who said, well, I just had a staff member tell me we were giving up 23 parks, and I said, no, that's not what it is at all. So I'm really concerned about that. And another thing that I wanted to focus in on, because it was really broad, I wanted to focus in on that the 151 legacy lands and request that we go back and ask for those 151 legacy pieces that were not paid for by Conservation Futures dollars. And he tried to give us a brief number of so many of these and three of those and so on. I'd like to take a look at those. I'm thinking that there's probably less than 50. And have that come back to us to review.
On that point, I want to make sure that the work session we had today, we ended it on a positive note to encourage them to make sure they are well equipped and all, but I want to make sure it's also the path forward that they had outlined in their presentation said they had X number of hours to finish this and X number of hours to fix that, that we also supported that, the completion of what they had proposed there. Just want to make sure we didn't leave that hanging.
I think that was implied.
Okay.
I think at least two people that I know, Mark and somebody else, did the math and showed 20 hours spent on each one, which didn't pencil out correctly, but that was our intent. So when we get that information of those, we want to make sure that we have a copy of the legal documents and conditions that might be attached to those, and we'll stay with that for a while. Then the parcels that were in the cities, I'm concerned about those. Is that what the 23 was?
Yeah.
So there was a 23 in the city.
I think that was the confusion, that when there's been annexations, there's 23 parcels within now the city limits.
Yeah, I like
that. Never got transferred.
I'd like to have
city.
A closer look at those.
Okay.
Because if they have a park across the street, does it make sense that we transfer those? Well, that's about a big enough bite for right now. That's all I have.
Okay. I've got two things. I wanted to share, Marty Snell and his folks have been focusing on making things easier for the customer and
like that.
Getting information out. And they designed a couple of clever little, all right.
Oh, here. Yeah, lots of one pages. Okay.
Here, no. We are using iPads to do building inspections.
Great, that's
and
smart.
This is a little handout to people who come into the permit center to inform them on that.
Oh.
They call it SureLook, which is a clever little name. And then they're developing alternate inspection hours. They're going to do after hours on weekdays and inspections on Saturdays. And so I wanted you to have
given the green light and
awesome service.
I'm not asking for permission. I'm just telling you what he's done.
Yeah. Well, what I mean,
he's already done it.
I remember.
I can ask for forgiveness.
Given the green light, and we gave him the green light that quite a long time ago. For
exactly.
Extra
and
hours.
Now
this looks great.
They've actually done one of these so far, and
really?
We expect to do more.
Okay.
So anyway, that's
well, that's cute.
That's some good innovation there.
That's great.
Okay. We've received an
email. SureLook at Clark.wa.gov.
Yeah, and then TikTok.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay.
Clever, catchy terms. Yep.
Okay.
Now, we've received an invoice from TIP, that stands for Trauma Intervention Programs, and this is something I'd never heard of. So I went to their website, and I pulled out their...
Is it the sheriff thing?
Well, this is when there's a trauma and you have people who are seriously injured and there are, you know, family members and whatnot that are traumatized by it. These are volunteers that come, and there are people at the table who probably know a whole lot more about it than I do.
I'm thinking I might.
Know more about it than me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. They're a group of specially trained volunteers who provide emotional aid and practical support to victims of traumatic events and their families in the first few hours following a tragedy. And they're available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And apparently it's a tremendous resource.
It's run through the sheriff's office? Is who the sheriff calls immediately if there's a death or
an
accident?
Yep. Police officers, firefighters, paramedics, and hospital people call these folks.
I'm thinking we give them about $5,000 a year.
Good memory. That's exactly right. So I'm just asking for permission to pay the invoice.
Sure. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That's easy. Yeah.
Thanks.
I know about that because I questioned it 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
what's this?
Yeah, I'm going to quit on a high note.
Yeah.
Actually, I do have one more thing here. We have a vacancy review. It's a position in DCS Crisis Services. The incumbent was terminated, and it's funded by 60% by Medicaid and 40% by state, and it's to help with recovery model that helps people with mental illness get back to a normal life.
This kind of goes along with what I just started researching into. I had Mary from CJC come, and we started talking about, first of all, there was the youth house was involved in a crisis phone thing. And then I found out that their CJC also has some form of crisis emergency phone calls. Then I learned about this one here the other day because we had an employee's relative apply for this, which is also the same thing. And then we have the 911 CRESA has a response one. And now I learned that RSN has one. So I'm trying to get a handle on where's their duplication. And they're supposed to be 24 hours a day. And on this one here, it contradicts itself here in this position here. It says it's a crisis line during business hours, and that's not necessarily when crises happen.
Well, it says here Clark County Crisis operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And just above that it says during business hours. So
it says here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, mm-hmm. in two different places.
Yeah. So I talked to Mary. Mary came in and talked to me the other day about hers. There's a small tweak between each one. Youth house is more like supposedly teenagers, but yet they have adults call in. And in many cases, when it's man, it's an adult that answers because it's throughout the night or up to 11 o'clock or mm-hmm. something like that. The ones that Mary has down there is primarily a crisis line where someone calls in if they suspect child abuse. And the one that the other one they have is 911 has to do with suicide. Someone calls up and says, I'm going to commit suicide. And yet we still have the same thing with teenagers. I would like to get a better handle on this to find out where we could better serve and how many calls we take and can we put this in CRESA and combine them all together and then have people...
You don't want mental health people in CRESA, I don't believe. These are specialized fields where you have folks specially trained in mental health and down in CJC you had mm-hmm. people trained to ask appropriate questions yep. for child abuse and to tease out what you need to know. Certainly you're not recommending that we only have one line for all of these.
Nope, I'm not.
Okay.
We have five. I want to use one for a sorting house. One number. You have a crisis, you call one number. I don't care if you're a teenager or a suicidal adult, you have one number, and in there it's manned 24 hours, undoubtedly, with probably more than one person. I don't know. I'm just starting this. But I can't. I see five duplications, and when I started my research, I had three. So the person answering the phone acts as a sorting house, and immediately puts on the line. Not in New York. You don't turn around and say, "Well, would you please call this line?" This goes on today with a reference. Oh, you got a different problem. You need to call this number. The person in crisis isn't going to do that, I don't think. So I'm looking into this to look how we can better serve, how we can have people on call in all aspects of all emergencies, but yet have a sorting house of two or more people 24 hours a day. In fact, this one here actually comes back and goes through 911 calls the following day, it says down here in the bottom. It goes back to the 911 database to review to see what calls came in. So I'm thinking that we might be able to do better. I hope I'm wrong, but I just can't imagine five different crises. What number do they call? I don't know. I don't know what number they call for youth house or RSN, but the police know. They pick a mentally ill person up. They know if they have a mentally ill person what to do and where to take that individual for mental health instead of jail. So I'd like to hold this one for a while. I know it's not going to be vacated for a few more days, but I have a whole bunch of unanswered questions.
All right.
So we'll do some homework on that, find out what we need to know and make a smart choice.
Okay, I'm done.
That's it?
Come on, good.
Axel.
I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. Peter, any questions?
I'm sure more questions will come later.
That's all that happens. Meetings brings questions. Yeah.
Yes, they
all
do.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.